one of the things that I recognized about when we were on vacation, that was enough, it was like God kept putting us in position to have these divine interactions where we were just talking to people and people were just talking to us. And one spiritual dynamic that we noticed, that I noticed, is when we went to get breakfast. And it's going to play into what I have to share. You know, we went to get breakfast, and we're sitting there. It was a buffet, so you go to your seat. They come and ask you, what did you want to drink? And they bring you your beverage, but then you are up at the buffet. So Val and I were sitting there, and we were eating, and there was a table next to us, or not too far away from us, where a gentleman had set his food down, and then I guess he went to, like, the pastry part to get some pastries. And so his plate looked good. I'm not going to lie. He had, like, and I don't eat all of this stuff, but it looked good to make me think it looked good. He had, like, this big old omelet they had cooked for him with some kind of sauce dripping on it. And, you know, he had, like, some bacon and something else. It was like, what was that other stuff? It was like beans or something. And so he set it down, and I'm like, man, he hooked himself up. But there's this thing that was just normal, is that these birds were just flying around everywhere when you were sitting outside. Because we ate outside so we could see the ocean view. You know, they were like, you want inside, outside? We were like, no, outside. And here's this thing. So this guy gets up and leaves his plate. This bird lands on the table, walks to his plate, took a bite out of his piece of bacon. And then some other birds were like, wait a minute. They must have been communicating, because next thing I know, there are about three of them. Now three of them converge on this table. One of them grabbed one piece of bacon. The other one grabbed the other piece, and they had this gigantic strip of bacon that they just flew away with. Another bird sat there and was just eating off his plate, eating his beans. And I'm sitting here, like, trying to shoo them away, and they're looking at me like, what? So the dynamic that I want to share with you is that sometimes it's just like that when we have the gift from God, that sometimes the enemy tries to come in when we're tending to one thing and try to take off of our plate from another area to try to steal from us. And so you have to be cautious and careful as you to steward everything that God has given you, so he doesn't do what I call the zigzag effect, where David was off fighting a battle and his home got attacked. You want to make sure you keep yourself covered. Say covered. Because in this season, as I was praying about today, and it seemed like today kind of picked up from where we were 2 weeks ago, I did watch, you know, online and heard what Apostle shared. You know, 2 weeks ago, the Lord told me to decree to expect favor. And so now he told me to tell you to expect increased favor. In the middle of expecting favor, we have to it's going to be a real good message for you to like and shout and rejoice. So be prepared and, you know, shout back at me and all of that good stuff. In fact, let's practice. Somebody say hallelujah. All right, good. Those are good cues. Now, but in the middle of that, there God also talked to me about handling it soberly. Because a lot of times we hear messages about the blessing and about the favor of God and what God's going to do, and we rejoice and we shout, but there is something that we have to step into in order for it to be a reality. And I would tell you that God has changed some, not changed, has been, I don't even want to say adapting. I want to say manifesting some things on his timeline that doesn't fit our time frame. I'll give you an example. For the purposes of those watching it online, we're here in Cincinnati area. In December, there should be snow. But what do we have? Rain. There is something from one season that is operating in this season, which is different than what we would expect in the natural. You get what I'm saying? And so at the beginning of December, I don't know about you, but I felt a spiritual shifting occur. Now, normally we wait until New Year's Eve to hear the word. What's the word for 2022? And then we step into what God is doing. But how many of you know that sometimes God can shift his body and will shift his body in a season that does not coincide with a human calendar? It is possible to operate in one season at a higher degree than that season calls for. For example, when we were gone, we were in a time zone that was 2 hours behind this time. But in that time zone, I was operating at a higher degree because I was still waking up as if I was in this time zone. So, like, I just normally wake up at 7 a.m. anyway. So over there, I was waking up at 5 a.m. And so, and Val was like, "You're on vacation. Go back to sleep." And I was like, "But I'm up. I'm awake. I don't know what to do." Sometimes you can be operating at a higher place than the season requires, and you're trying to figure out, what should I be doing right now? Well, I'm going to help you with that. You should be expecting increased favor. Psalms 27 and 13 says this from the King James. David said, "I had fainted." Some folks are fainting right now. Some folks want to pass out. My sister-in-law used to say, "I'm passing out." When she would get tired, when she got to that point, she'd be like, "I'm passing out. I'm passing out." A minute later, she would sleep. David said, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." A lot of people are expecting the goodness of the Lord to manifest later, but David says, look, what kept me from fainting, what recharged and refueled me was the expectation and the faith that the goodness of God would be manifested in my life right here and right now. I know what God's going to do for me in heaven. I know my mansion is going to be on point, but here on earth as it is in heaven. So there is an expectation of God's goodness that we have to believe for, that we will see and experience. Let's look at Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Now I'm going to read this from the New American Standard. It says, "And Jesus kept increasing." Now, we are like him. He's our example. So if Jesus kept increasing in our life, we should keep doing what? Increasing. Now, sometimes increase may look like subtraction because God say he prunes us so we can bear forth more fruit. Sometimes we may have to eliminate some stuff in order to continue to increase. But it is the plan and the purposes of God that we continue to increase. It says he kept increasing in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. So Jesus continued to increase with favor, and it was a parallel or dual favor. There was a favor that he increased in of the Father, and then a favor that he increased in with men. Now, you may be thinking, because I know I was thinking this, how could Jesus increase in favor when he was loved by the Father? I mean, did the Father just start loving him more? Favor is different from love. God loves us, and he would never stop loving us. The scripture says that we can't even comprehend the height, the depth, the breadth of the love of God. So there is no increase or decrease in God's love for us and towards us. But what we can increase in is our ability to walk in the manifested favor. The favor with God is the favor that comes supernaturally that causes things to occur that only God could do. The favor with men is where people all of a sudden are doing things for you, but they don't know why. While we were sitting on the beach, there were times where my heart just broke because we were driving into Cabo and I could see people living under sheds and huts. And I'm like, we're in this big tourist town, and God showed me people there who were homeless. And so we were sitting on the beach, and there was this lady who was selling mangoes. And so she would walk up the beach and be like, mango, mango, mango. And when she walked by, I was like, no, because everybody was trying to sell you something. I mean, they wanted to sell you a shirt. They wanted to sell you a removable tattoo. Somebody was like, you want a Cuban cigar, my friend? I said, no, thank you. He was like, what about a little weed? And I was like, no. No, thank you. And he was like, come on. But this lady walked by, and God spoke to me and said, sow a seed into her. And she went down to the beach, and so I'm sitting there, and I'm just kind of like, you know, relaxing, but still trying to, you know, being in tune to Holy Spirit. And I was like, okay. And I told Val, I said, Holy Spirit told me to sow a seed. When she comes back, I'm going to do it. And I'm like, okay, I hope she comes back. Because you could tell she was way at the other end of the beach towards where the other resorts were. Sure enough, she came back by. And so God told me, I was going to sow one amount. God told me to sow another, and I was like, Jesus, this is my vacation money. But it wasn't my vacation money. It was seed money that I took on vacation. And so I saw this lady. I was like, Senorita, and I put it in her hand, and she still gave me, which was three times the cost of the mango, and she still gave me a mango. I didn't want the mango, but I took it to be polite. And then he spoke to me about somebody else. And I was like, okay, you want me to sow a seed? And the Holy Spirit said, no, he's proud. He doesn't like handouts. And I was like, wow. But what happens is when we operate from a place of expecting favor, it postures us to be one to show favor, to demonstrate the love of God to people. And so as we increase in this favor, I want to caution you, as you expect it, to continue to pray and ask God for wisdom. Wisdom to step into what God has already placed us in. One of the things that Holy Spirit has been talking to me about is that we are stepping into places that he has already prepared for us. Psalms 5 and 12 says that he blesses the righteous, which is us, and surrounds us with favor like a shield. Now, that analogy of being surrounded with favor like a shield could be used especially by David because he was a man of war, and there was a strategy of when you were fighting with a team that you would get in a circle and put your shields up. And it will create this barrier that nothing could penetrate. Favor surrounds you to where nothing can penetrate your life that's not supposed to be there. But then here's another thing. Think about it this way. Favor should permeate the atmosphere of wherever you are. So the favor of God follows you and shifts atmospheres where you are, and because of the foreknowledge of God, where you're going to go to make it conducive for you to accomplish the purposes and the plans of God for your life. Because favor of God is not for us just to get what we want. The favor is for us to accomplish the purposes and plans of God to fulfill his desired outcome. So let me tell you this. Expectation, and we know, we say where there's expectation, there's anticipation. And where there's anticipation and faith, it produces the atmosphere conducive for miracles, or for what I say, the supernatural. But here's what Holy Spirit also said. He kind of added to that. He said, expectation and anticipation eliminates hesitation and provokes preparation and leads to possession. Now, that last word didn't really rhyme, but, you know, it's all good. Because when you have an expectation and you anticipate something from God, it's going to stop you from being hesitant. And it will keep you from overthinking and getting in this analysis paralysis where you're constantly praying about strategy but never stepping into anything. Now, I believe in asking God for wisdom, like I just said, and I believe in strategy, but I also recognize that sometimes God would tell you something without giving you the details. Especially if you're a strategist, he will provoke you. You like to have stuff planned out. He would tell you, look, just do this. And you'd be like, wait a minute. You need like 10 more details to go with that one thing, not knowing that he would tell you as you go. That's what he did to Abraham. He said, go to the place I will show you. Sometimes he just needs you to get moving to make a get started choice or a getting started obedience act so then he can give you more detail. That is training to depend totally upon him. Now, I'm going to tell you, for some of those who are not planners, who like to just act, he's going to slow you down and make you get a plan. He will consciously make you do the opposite of how you're wired, even though he wired you that way. So your dependency is not upon your natural tendency or your natural wiring, but upon God. See, he is eliminating everything that we could depend on so that we can solely depend on him. And then those things get added back to us, but they are then in the proper context. So we must expect the unexpected, and we should keep our expectation high, not just for what we're believing for, but we should keep our expectation high for the unexpected, meaning anything at any time could break loose. It's one of those things, and I was mentioning it to the team in the back, where every Sunday is a supernatural Sunday. Every gathering is a miracle gathering, if you want to call them that. Even though we set aside first Sundays, you know, as our time for personal ministry and time for the miraculous happening, but every Sunday is that. Any time between we start prayer to the time we leave is opportunity and space for the supernatural, but you have to have that expectation. The only place where Jesus didn't do miracles and healed some minor headaches was the place where people didn't have the expectation. It says the power of the Lord was present, but they didn't benefit because they didn't have the expectation. They got too familiar. Don't be so familiar with the presence of God that you miss how he wants to show his goodness in a new and a fresh way. Yes, we experience a high level of presence of God for those of you who are connected to this house, but don't get so used to it that you forget about the goodness of God, about the tangibleness of God, and you lower your expectation. Because I'm telling you, God is doing something new. And, you know, a lot of people is like, well, what is he doing new? We still come the same way. He's doing a lot new. He's shifting things. But you got to see it. You got to sense it. You got to draw from it. Because here's the thing. I woke up this morning with an extreme burden for the young adults, age 30 to 45. Because I have been praying and watching the enemy get you distracted. Get you out of place. Attack you. Try to confound you. And deceive you. I've seen people in this city get deceived and get into this Hebrew Israelite doctrine that's destroyed homes, marriages, and spiritual lives. I've seen people get so deceived that they start messing with their spouses. You ain't the one God told me I'm supposed to be with. Where was that when you was walking down the aisle? Stop that foolishness. I've seen people start leaving places where they be stretched to grow so they can get a quick ordination from somewhere else that has the, I'm going to just say it, that's dealing with religion and has the appearance of godliness but not the power. because some kind of way there's been this aspiration for a title, for an ordination. Call me apostle this, call me bishop that, call me pastor this. The title only describes the calling and the office and the function and the level of accountability. But I see people now, they starting their own ministry on Facebook. It's good. Evangelize Facebook. But you need to be planted somewhere and fathered. And you need to be matured and submit to correction even when you don't agree. So I've been praying. And some of y'all young adults, I'm coming for you. I don't know how, but I'm coming for you. I'm going to come get you. Get you out of that foolishness. There's purpose and destiny in all of you. And what the enemy's trying to do is get you to disqualify yourself. So, here's what the Lord told me. For some who are watching as well as in this room, your warfare is done. Your warfare has ended. The things you have worried about has been settled. The battle is over. The enemy has been defeated. He is fleeing. Now it's time for reconstruction. Just like after any war, you have to rebuild. Then for some of you, y'all going to continue the war. Your warfare isn't done. Because you have unfinished business. And if you let those things remain, it's going to vex you. But he said this, those of you who will continue to war is not going to be like before. There's going to be an ease in your war. That the victories you experience are going to come with ease. It's going to be less effort, less stress, less pressure. So you can relax. Stop being so tense. Like you're trying to push it out. You're done with that. Now I've heard some people say, now as God was speaking to me, I started thinking about, you know, what's been released in the body as a whole. One person, I was in a room on a particular social media app where it's live audio, and I didn't just happen to do it because, you know, God gives you divine. He directs us. So I'm sitting in the airport a couple weeks ago, and I get into this room because I had this, you know, like a delay. It was like maybe 30 minutes or so while I was waiting to get on the flight. So I get in this room where people are praying. And this person started to pray and prophesy and said the former season of hardship that was like tilling and plowing the ground is over. And that we have stepped into a season where things come easy and whatever we ask will be given. And then there was a phrase called blooming season, branching forth, raining wealth, raining money, and heavenly currency being poured out on the people of God. So I'm listening to this and I'm like, okay, my spirit was bearing witness. I was like, I received that. So then I get picked up from the airport by Val. Val was like, you know, I just wanted to tell you that the season of planting and tilling is over. You're in a season of seeing fruit. I'm like, I received that. Praise God. That's confirmation of what I just heard. Thank you, Jesus. You're confirming. You're speaking. And then I start to recognize, okay, God is speaking this to everybody. This ain't a Jamal word. This is an everybody word. And then a friend of mine through social media who pastors in another state, she released a prophetic word on Facebook through Facebook and said that because it was raining where she lives as well instead of snowing. And so she was saying that God told her that he was pouring out the seasonal rain, that the rain has come to water seed that has been in the ground and to end a dry, unfruitful season. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus, because she released it on Facebook, then text me the link. It was like, I thought about you after I released this word. And I'm like, yes, this is what God is saying. And then yesterday, I get this email from Sid Roth, and he said, someone prophesied this over me, and but I recognized this is a word for the body, not just me. And he said that he stepped into a season of smooth sailing. So I'm like, okay, God, you talking. And you talking to a whole bunch of people, and you're saying the same thing, just in different ways. And so, man, that was my time already. Good Lord. So as God began to speak those things, it confirmed a passage he gave me, and I want to read that to you, and then I'm going to wind this down. Oh, yeah, okay. I got 4 minutes. So in 4 minutes, we can do this. So in Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 10, and I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. You guys getting anything from this? Okay. It says, the one I love calls to me. Who's the one we love calling to us? It's God. He says, arise, my dearest. Hurry, my darling. Come away with me. I have come as you have asked. How many of you have been praying and believing for a move of God? He said, look, I've come just like you've asked to draw you to my heart and lead you out. For now is the time. Say now. He said, now is the time, my beautiful one. The season has changed. Say the season has changed. The season has changed. The bondage of your barren winter has ended. And the season of hiding is over and gone. The rains have soaked the earth. The season has changed. The season of not producing is over with. We've been sowing and sowing and sowing and waiting on harvest, but this word is saying the season has changed. Now we can expect favor. We can expect to produce no barrenness, no lack of production in any area of our lives. The season of hiding is over. Stop hiding. Apostle was talking about how we had to steward our gifts. Stop hiding. There are folks in hiding because they don't want to serve. Hiding because they think that their gift isn't good enough. Hiding because they feel like other people should be up front. Stop hiding. Quit it. That's over with. He says, the rains have soaked the earth and left it bright with blossoming flowers. The season for singing and pruning the vines has arrived. He said, I hear the cooing of doves in our land, filling the earth with songs to awaken you and guide you forth. There is a sound that has been released from heaven to wake up the body and to ignite your faith and hope again. Then it says, verse 13, can you not discern this new day of destiny breaking forth around you? The early signs of my purposes and plans are bursting forth. Now, we're seeing right now the early signs. We've been talking about this all year, about breaking forth, breaking out. Kingdom maturing, displaying the kingdom. We are in the early signs of destiny breaking forth. Things have changed. Say, things have changed. Don't wait until 2022 to think that you're going to step into something new and things are going to change. God has shifted and changed things now. Step into 2022 in power, knowing that stuff is changed. I can expect the favor of God to be released on my life and to shape and shift everything that I'm stepping into. I am stepping into prepared places. It says, the budding vines of new life are now blooming everywhere. Say everywhere. Everywhere you go. It says, the fragrance of their flowers whispers, there is change in the air. Arise. Again, look how many times he said arise. Arise, my love, my beautiful companion, and run with me to the higher place. For now is the time to arise and come away with me. This is the time of favor. Say favor. In Revelation 3, it says this. Revelation 3, verse 7. He says, write the following to the messenger of the congregation of Philadelphia. For these are the solemn words of the Holy One, the true one, who has David's key, who opened doors that none can shut and closes doors that none can open. This is the time where God is opening doors that cannot be closed. Access is being granted to you. Doors are being opened for you. There are some yeses that I want to say coming. There are some yeses waiting on your arrival. Say that. Say hallelujah to that. Now, I want to say this one point as I close out, because I'm nowhere near, I'm not even halfway through, but I want to tell you this. Favor doesn't always look like a yes. Now, here's the wisdom in that, because the yeses are coming for us. Yeses are waiting on our arrival. The favor of God is opening doors, but don't get in an emotional place and start feeling some type of way when you hear the word no, because no is also the manifestation of favor. Favor doesn't always look like a yes to us. Sometimes a no in the natural is a yes to something else that God has already prepared for you in the realm of the spirit. And so in this time of increased favor, realize that the favor of God may cause some doors to be closed. And those are the doors that were not meant for you and would not propel you to your destiny, would not help you fulfill purpose. Favor is opening the right doors for you and closing the wrong door. Say hallelujah. This is the time of favor. Expect it. Look for it. Declare it. You got to look for it everywhere you go. You got to expect it. And you got to know that a yes is right there. And if they say no, it's because there's a better yes, a greater yes, a yes that's in a greater alignment of the yeses that you need to get to. It was a no that got me to Cincinnati, because I was supposed to teach at a school that I was promised a position for in Pontiac, Michigan, where I grew up. I was working at the school for 2 years while earning my teaching degree. And they had promised me, this person is leaving. You're getting your certificate. We're going to slide you right into that position. And I'm thinking, look at the favor of God. Hallelujah. Because they had already created the position I was in the first place. It didn't exist until I got there. And then when the time came for me to interview, they slid someone else in that position. And I was like, I didn't even get the interview. They didn't even interview me. They just slid the other person in a position, not knowing that that no opened up for me to teach the same exact thing here in Cincinnati, which was the catalyst to coming here to get in position to fulfill purposes and destiny. So sometimes when that no is not a no to you, it's a not this opportunity. Jesus said he opens doors that no man can close. If somebody doesn't want you to position, that's their problem. If somebody doesn't want you to have something, that's their problem, because God is going to make sure you get it anyway. But when he closes a door, or when he allows a door to be closed, it is direction. Hallelujah. 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 I'm a stop here because there's so much more. This is our time of favor. Song of Songs, chapter 2. I'm going to read this last verse as I close it out. Back to Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 15 in the Passion Translation. Hallelujah. It says this: you must catch the troubling foxes, those sly little foxes that hinder our relationship. For they raid our budding vineyard of love to ruin what I have planted in you. Will you catch them and remove them for me? We will do it together. Come on, Eric. In this time of favor, be wise. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because as God is opening doors, and as he's closing doors that are not supposed to be open, beware of the tactics that the enemy would use to bring frustration and agitation to get you to respond in a way that's lower than where God is taking you and cause you to disqualify yourself. The King James of that says it's the small foxes that spoil the vine. But notice he said in this translation of it says, will we catch them and remove them? But then he says, we will do it together. Be sensitive to Holy Spirit in the moments as he speaks to you to recognize that this is one of those small foxes trying to get you to disqualify yourself. That's what happened with Moses. He was told to speak to a rock, and he smacked it 2 times. Even though the water flowed, he got the same result, but the process wasn't the same. God wanted him to have a certain way of bringing about the result, and he did it differently out of frustration. And that frustrated act caused him to be disqualified from entering into the land that God used him to deliver people out of Egypt and promised that they would go into. So during this time of favor, look for the open doors. Thank him for the doors that he closes. Because he'll tell you when to keep being persistent and when not to. And allow him to keep you in a place where you don't act out of frustration or agitation.